Hello and welcome to this edition of the End Zone Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Jensen, and joined by a chock full room of really people. I don't think we've ever had a four-person show before, so this could go either great or terribly. But today with us, as always, we have Chris Castain, hailing from Georgia, getting ready for a nice little bye week for the Falcons. He might kick back, do some sunbathing this weekend, go out, walk the dog, run the park. John Butler from good old Chicagoland, a White Sox fan who was now being dragged into the Cubs nonsense of a World Series, quickly taking over here. And
Hey, you cannot forget Trubisky, though. I will get to that later, but Trubisky is my speech that I have for this week.
yeah, well, he's on board with Trubisky. Trubisky called by one of our writers, quote, Aaron Rodgers' potential, which is total bullshit, but he's definite. Every rookie quarterback has Aaron Rodgers' potential, but not really. Finally, last but not least, we have no drum roll and we have no soundboard, but we are going to throw it right now to our good friend Josh Delaney, who is here from the Scoring Plays Podcast. How you doing, Josh?
Doing well, Eric. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Good. All right. So we have a few standard questions we ask every new player on the podcast. One, plug yourself. Who are you? What do you do? Why are you important to this to have on this show? What makes you a credible source?
Well, I'm a fresh out of Notre Dame, living in Houston, and starting the Scoring Plays blog. It's a blog with different articles on a lot of them right now are football, but pretty much anything to do with sports, baseball, basketball, and a lot of it is geared towards making picks eventually. And then I've been doing the podcast on the side as well. And I had Chris on there a week or so ago talking about college football and stuff like that. So, as far as being credible, I think just been following sports from a very young age, just always been more than being a diehard fan of any one team, just always been obsessed with trying to follow different stats. I actually grew up like overseas, so I would get up at like 4 or 5 in the morning to see what had happened the night before and listen to games at like 3 or 4 in the morning. So had to be pretty
That's
dedicated.
dedication.
Yeah, had to be pretty dedicated and, just kind of stuck. And it's always been something that's been a big part of my identity. And I figured if I was going to be this obsessed with it going into adulthood, I better justify it with some kind of blog or podcast. So putting those
Well,
together, and that's what we're doing.
good for you. What a qu looking for less of a life story here. Where'd you live overseas?
Ecuador, Ghana, and then mostly Ethiopia.
Wow. All right. Yeah, that is very much not. How did you find these things on television?
Well, mostly like through a lot of it was like ESPN. It was all websites.
Oh, all right. Gotcha. So that went a little longer than normal. So speed round here. Favorite team.
Well, probably Notre Dame, but if we were going pro, I'd say the Packers.
Favorite player.
Right now, Deshone Kizer.
Yeah, right now. DeShone Kizer. All right. I'm a big Kizer fan too. I'm all in on him. But the Browns are letting me down this year. I
Yeah.
am a Broncos fan, of course, but I feel bad, so I constantly cheer for the city of Cleveland.
I'm a sweet of you.
All time, who's your favorite player?
I mean, if you count college, I would say Vince Young.
Vince Young. All right. That has to be the strangest all-time favorite player we've ever gotten. But
Yeah.
we're glad we got it. So Vince Young, good stuff. Plug your Twitter really quick. Where can people find you there?
Yeah, so Twitter is at Scoring Plays. Facebook, same thing. It's the Scoring Plays page. And then the web address for the blog and the podcast and all that is scoringplays.blog. And I mean, the podcast is on iTunes and stuff too. So anywhere you think you can find it, it's all probably right there.
Good stuff. Without further ado, let's get to the football talk here. Let's start with you, John. So we all watched the games this weekend for the NFL. This is primarily NFL, Josh. So keep that in mind.
I got you.
But John, two big takeaways from this whole weekend.
My first one is the Lions are for real. I've been high on them from the very beginning, as you know. And they've only solidified it this much more. Yes, they beat the Vikings without Sam Bradford, 14-7. But that defense really stepped up and was really able to show a lot this weekend as they held the Vikings to 7 points. Unfortunately, it kind of takes a hit when you look at it because of the fact that Dalvin Cook left the game with an ACL tear, as we later found out. But Abdullah was almost a 100-yard rusher. They've been very effective in the run game, which they haven't been able to be in the last few years, as they've still gone 56 games without a 100-yard rusher, but they're still getting it done. They're 3-1, and they've got a very tough part coming up in their schedule, but I'm really high on the Lions, and I think they're for real.
I like the Lions, too. This wouldn't be one of my takes, but just backing you up, I have them, we'll talk a little bit about power rankings later in the show, but I have them a little bit, I don't have them as a top five team right now, just because the offense has been a little slow, but I really love what the defense has shown, and I got on board with them after week one. As soon as I saw Matthew Stafford dissect the cards, I knew you had something there, and I'm very excited to watch the Lions. What about you, Chris? What do you think about the Lions right now?
I have to be impressed because they went into Minnesota and won the game. That against that defense, I know they only scored 14 points to the Detroit Lions, but and we'll talk about this a little bit. But I have them very high in my power rankings based off of that. I'm very impressed with them right now. A shocking team for me. Of all 32 teams, I think this is the most shocking team. No one would have ever expected them to be this good.
What about you, Josh? What's a big takeaway you have from week four?
Well, I mean, I would agree with y'all on the Lions for sure. They've jumped out at me. I wasn't high on them to start the season. But just to give a different one, Deshaun Watson for the Texans. I'm living in Houston and probably going to try to go to the Houston Chiefs game this weekend. And there's just a lot of excitement. I mean, I know it's early. He's only started a couple games, but he looked good against the Patriots, which we're finding out may not mean that much with that defense. But to put up 57 against Tennessee was just really impressive. I mean, he had a lot of help, but I think just his ability to make plays has kind of energized the whole team, the whole offense. And it's, you know, the Texans are a team coming into the year that people kind of felt like we're a quarterback away from being a real, if not a Super Bowl contender, certainly a contender in the AFC. So it's exciting to see Watson kind of click the pieces into place for them.
Chris, yeah. A big takeaway for you.
For me, it's the Falcons. Losing to the Bills is not as big as some are making out to be. Clear Beavers and Mahomes New and Julio Jones. Matt Ryan hasn't looked very good at all. 5 interceptions in the last 2 games. They should have lost that game. But I think it's a bit of an overreaction. I think the Steve Sarkisian play, or just him used to Matt Ryan, it's going to take a little longer than thought. I would say hold the brakes on the Falcons. I think they're going to, I'm not saying that they're going to miss the playoffs or anything like that. Nothing to do with that. I'm just saying hold the brakes on right now.
Yeah, I think for me, my first big takeaway of the week would be on the other side of the ball there. I think the Buffalo Bills are a legit team. And you guys, to be fair, I didn't pick the Bills, but you guys laughed me out when I said it's very possible that the Bills come in and they pull an upset. And I think the Bills they're still getting a lack of respect, in my opinion. In my power rankings, I have them very high, as you'll see, because they shut down the Broncos offense. Admittedly, the Broncos didn't have a great game offensively, and Trevor Siemian had his worst game of the year. But then they go and they shut down the Falcons offense, and they're able to effectively move the ball through the air against one of the best secondaries in the league in Denver. And then they're able to move it on the ground against one of the best run defenses in Atlanta. I really think that the Bills should be considered a threat to make the playoffs, and maybe I don't want to say win the division because I believe the Patriots will bounce back, but I would not be shocked at all if the Buffalo Bills made the playoffs.
Yeah,
go ahead, Josh.
I'm sorry. I was right there with you on that. I mean, right down to the fact that I don't think they'll win the division, but you know, they were probably my second biggest takeaway of just like, okay, this beating Denver, especially with, I mean, Denver didn't look dominant against Oakland, but they took care of business even after Carr got hurt. And so Buffalo's win looks even better. And to beat Atlanta, even with the injuries Chris was talking about, I mean, just to get to 3-1 right now is a big deal for them. So I think, you know, people would have thought that they were going to be kind of lounging at the bottom of that division, but it looks like they're going to be kind of a threat, at least into the second half of the season.
For me, the biggest thing that it was hard to believe in them because, yes, Trevor Siemian had a bad game, but we didn't know what to expect from him this year. And their other games were the Jets and the Panthers. So it was really hard to give them any respect going into the game because they hadn't faced great competition. They hadn't faced a great quarterback at all. But after seeing what they did this week to Atlanta, it's really surprising to me just because of the fact that I thought they were going to be a bottom five team. I didn't think they didn't have much more than 4 or 5 wins, and they're already at 3. They're 3-1 leading that AFC East.
Yeah, that's quite shocking.
John, your second takeaway of the week.
It's got to be that if Derek Carr misses more than 2 weeks, the Raiders are likely out of the playoffs just because of where they are in their division. The AFC West is one of the hardest to get into the playoffs. We're going to see that because of the Broncos, because of the Chiefs, and unfortunately not the Chargers, but over the next few weeks, they have to take on the Ravens, the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Bills. And that's a very tough stretch, especially with the way that the Bills are playing the Chiefs. Chargers and Ravens, I don't know, but also if they can try and pull a win out of one of those 2 weeks without Carr, with E.J. Manuel under center, is going to be very hard, as they really haven't counted on Marshawn Lynch either, and we don't know what kind of run game they're going to have without Carr in there. I'm sure teams are going to stack the box, they're going to pressure E.J. Manuel to get that ball out quick, and it's going to be very tough for Cooper and Crabtree to form the way they have been over the last 20 or so weeks going back to last year.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I do think if they're more than 4 weeks, I'm going to say if he's out more than 4 weeks, I think the Raiders are just done. They're done because they're probably going to go 1-3, if not 4, in their next 4 games.
I've been thinking about the Raiders a little bit. The number one thing that surprises me, and I don't want to call you out on this, John, but I kind of got to call you out on it. Marshawn Lynch, to me, I was totally convinced you were right about Marshawn Lynch the first 2 weeks. And these second 2 weeks, he's just disappeared. And I get that the Broncos are a good run defense, but he didn't really show up against Washington either. And we were talking about this before the show. When Kareem Hunt actually got the ball against Washington, he tore him apart. I don't know where Marshawn Lynch is for the Raiders. And that's, even if Derek Carr and Marshawn Lynch were healthy, I'd still be concerned about them because I thought that what happened against Washington was a flash in the pan. But Denver shut him down for a good – if Derek Carr doesn't get a one long touchdown pass, then that game is a two-score game, and we're looking at a 16-7 scoreline instead of a 16-10 scoreline for the Raiders.
Yeah,
I agree with you on that. The biggest thing to me is that Lynch hasn't had his chance to really get going. He's had four games, 45 attempts, so they're keeping him at 10 carries a game. And he's always been a volume runner of tearing down defenses, wearing them down, and then breaking off some of those bigger runs where he just gets to be unstoppable. Unfortunately, at his age, I don't know if they're just trying to get him back into game shape and getting him used to that to where they can use him the way that he used to be used later in the season, but they're going to have to count on him now.
Yeah, Josh, I could tell you had something to say.
Yeah, I was just going to agree with what Eric was saying, that I kind of feel like the Carr injury kind of bails out the Raiders a little bit, because I think they would have lost that game even if he was healthy, and there would have been a lot of questions about, you know, I think people still would have been confident, but there would have been a lot of questions about where they were going with Carr. You know, not like long term, but at least for kind of the short term of this season. So, in a way, this injury kind of lets him off the hook for that, which I think is interesting. To go ahead and just go into my second take and stay in that division would be the Broncos. And I mean, I think we're going to talk a little bit about like what we kind of messed up before the season, but I definitely thought the Broncos were going to be the bottom of this division. And a lot of that had to do with my opinion of Simeon. And I think, you know, quite a few people would have shared that. The defense, too, I think people were worried about Wade Phillips leaving. The run defense looked really bad last year, but they've really shored that up. You know, Anthony Joseph's done a great job for them. Or Vance Joseph, I'm sorry, but he's done a great job for them. And they look really solid pretty much across the board. And so I think, you know, they seem like a 10-win team, at least to me, going to push the Chiefs and, you know, maybe the Raiders in that division. So, I'm, you know, definitely willing to, after 4 weeks, even kind of admit that I missed on that one and think the Broncos are going to be there throughout the year.
For me, as a Broncos fan, the one thing that really still concerns me about that team is the offensive line. I feel like at some point in the year, CJ Anderson is going to get hurt. And unfortunately, I don't want to admit this, but when the Broncos aren't running the ball, Trevor Siemian isn't an effective quarterback. You have to have a solid, balanced attack. And I get that the Raiders' defense, we say they're bad, but their pass rush with Khalil Mack, and I forgot his name, but the Oakland Raiders' pass rush wrecked the Denver Broncos' offensive line all day. And the one thing that I didn't like about Denver is when Derek Carr went out of the game, they started to sit on the ball. They were too conservative with the offense. They need to be more aggressive, and when they're in that position in the future, they need to go for those blowouts and put up points, because it feels like at some points, Vance Joseph and Mike McCoy are hesitant to let Trevor Siemian throw the ball. I think they need to give him a little bit more freedom like we were seeing in the first 2 weeks. And that's when I'll be fully in on the Broncos. I'm really afraid that the bottom's going to fall out here pretty soon. But hey, I am
just real quick, the only thing I would say about that is that if you look at the schedule, it's pretty favorable. I mean, they have a bye week. The Giants come there. There's a brief stretch where it gets a little rough, but I mean, at least the Patriots come to Denver. And then it's really nice to see the Dolphins, Jets, and Colts in consecutive weeks.
I do want to point one thing out. We do remember what happened last year. The Broncos started 3-1, and then everything just fell apart. And they were a 500 team. I do want to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I agree. I think that for me, I want to see the Broncos get to that New England game with three losses, and then I need to see them win that New England game. for me to really buy into this team. John, you already gave your two takeaways, right?
Yes, I did.
And Chris, we got you?
Yeah, I gave one. I need to give one more. For me, it's a particular Sunday. The Titans and the Texans, don't overreact on that game. We all know that the Houston Texans offense is not a good game, and I thought the Titans defense is just was absolutely awful, and they didn't even show up. I'm serious because, and it's not just the fact they gave up 57 points; they gave up to Deshaun, a rookie quarterback with the offensive line is not in their middle of the road. To let him get four touchdowns for one interception, that is completely unacceptable. And I knew the Titans defense was bad, but I didn't think they were that bad.
All right, I'm going to tee off against you here and say I completely disagree. I am totally all in with Deshaun Watson. He is perhaps my favorite rookie quarterback that I've seen thus far. Hands down, he is. I think he has insane amounts of talent. People don't give him enough respect, and I think that we should be worried about the Titans because they did this last year. They go and they beat a big team, and then they come into a division rival. Last year it was Indy, and they lose a game. Last year they beat Green Bay, then they lost in Indy. This year they beat Seattle, then they lose in Houston. You have to win these games and stay consistent if we want them to win that division. And I know that me and John were both very high on them, but especially if Marcus Mariota, who seems to be, I hate to say it, but he and Derek Carr at this point in their career, you have to start wondering if they're just two injury-prone quarterbacks, which sucks because they are such awesome talents. But without them, their teams are terrible. And I'm kind of out on the Titans right now. Like, they have really they've got to show me something. Like, they got to, and I'm not going to buy in if they beat whoever they're playing this week. They got to win like three or four in a row for me to get back in on them. Is that kind of the same way you're feeling, John?
Yeah, the biggest thing is we really do. I don't think we can go as far to say that they're injury prone, because they both had broken legs last year. That's not anything you can. And Carr with a spinal, or was it partial spinal fracture? You can't really control it. It's not, soft tissue injuries, I can't play. But the Titans really do have to step up over these next few weeks, especially with them signing Brandon Whedon. That's not something that you really want to see. So their next four games coming up, they have the Dolphins, the Colts, the Browns, and the Ravens, which is very favorable in case they do need to go without Marcus Mariota for a week or two. I feel like they should be able to rely on Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray to get them past that. But if they can't get Mariota back on the field, it's going to be very tough. I was high on them. I saw them being an 11-win team possibly. But that defense really needs to step up too, because they haven't been a very dominant defense at all. They've been very mediocre at best.
Well, for me, it's just the way they lost. They didn't lose to Indy last year like they lost to Houston this year. And they just didn't make any halftime adjustments. They didn't make any attempt to even compete in that football game. And that is scary if you're a Titans fan. Or if you're rooting for the Titans in any way, I mean, this is a beating that football game, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's certainly not a good thing. Where the Titans were a team we may have been wrong on, there were many teams we were wrong on. And at the quarter point, we like to admit our mistakes. So we're going to go around the horn and basically admit teams we were wrong about. I'll start. I'll go last because I have the biggest failure to admit. And we'll start with Jumbo.
The biggest thing for me is that I was wrong on the Bills. I had them at, I believe, 2-14 or 4-12 at best. They're already at 3 wins. And I'm very surprised. The defense is better than I thought it was going to be, especially after the trades they made this year. The offense has been very surprising, even though LeSean McCoy hasn't been the same guy that we've expected. They've been able to get it done in many different ways. They've been able to hold the Broncos to 16 and the Falcons to 17. And the Falcons was the big one that proved it to me, is that they can be a for real team in a year where they got rid of Watkins and really went into the year with one of probably the worst wide receiving groups. Yes, they got Jermaine Kearse at one point, but even then he didn't seem like a number one wide receiver, but they've really stepped up early on this year.
For me, it's the Falcons. I've had them running away with the number one seed in the NFC, and I just don't see the connection between Steve Sarkisian and I still think they're going to win the division, but I don't see them running away with the one seed. I see a 10-6 season, and I could have gone with the Miami Dolphins, but I still have hope for them, so I'm not going to go with them because of what we saw last year. I can't go with them right now.
All right, I'm holding out hope for them. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, for me, there's plenty to choose from. You know, I think the Titans and the Falcons were two that I actually feel like I got were some of the few that I got right. And I already mentioned the Broncos is one that I got wrong. Could easily throw the Lions and Bills that we already talked about in there. But I'll say the Chiefs just because they were another team that I didn't think they were going to like bottom out this year, but I just felt like they were going to kind of stagnate and drift a little bit back towards 8-8, maybe even like 7-9, 6-10. And I just kind of felt like Alex Smith, Andy Reid were just kept running the same thing back, and it was going to get old, and there was going to be some Pat Mahomes buzz, and just that it could kind of go off the rails. And through the quarter mark of the season, it's gone the exact opposite direction. Smith's playing the best football of his career. Andy Reid looks excited on the sideline, which is new. And their 4-0 is the biggest thing. So, I mean, I'm not completely sold on them as the best team in the league for the rest of the year, but through the quarter mark of the season, they made any kind of prognostication of them being towards the bottom half of the league look pretty silly.
So I was really wrong about the Jets. No.
That can't be it. And we all know.
Just kidding. Ladies and gentlemen, now the idiot walks into the room and says, man, I'm not even disappointed. I'm just angry at the Los Angeles Chargers because they could so easily be 4-0 right now. But they have lost in such horrific ways. Their kicker loses 2 games for them. Then Phillip Rivers loses a game for them. Then their run defense, which the week before we were talking up as one of the best in the league, loses a game for them against Philadelphia. I can't believe it. Like, I have a mortal hate for the Chargers now. I hope you go 0-16 Chargers because you're worthless. I picked this team to go into Foxborough and play the Patriots tight and lose in the conference finals. Like, I picked this team to win the division. I got so caught up in the fact that, I think Phillip Rivers is still a good quarterback. And guess what? At the beginning of the season, we did our top 10 quarterbacks list, whatever. Guess what? Phillip Rivers, you're not a top 10 quarterback. You're not even a franchise quarterback. San Diego needs to go out. And yeah, I know you're in LA. You might as well be in San Diego. You can't even fill up your own goddamn soccer stadium. But let me tell you something. Get rid of Phillip Rivers. Tear the whole thing down. Trade Melvin Gordon. The Chargers are terrible. They're trash. And I'm done with them as a football organization.
Eric, I am right there with you. I actually – you had them losing in Foxborough. You had them losing in Foxborough, which is better than having them winning in Foxborough, which is, I'm pretty sure, what I wrote. So I feel your pain. I mean, literally, if the kicker makes two kicks, they could be 3-1 right now. You know, just, I mean, those first two losses seem to just kind of make them feel doomed as a franchise. You know, just even with the new coach, new location, and all that. I like them against New York this week, but I'm done. I mean, I dropped Philip Rivers off my fantasy team. I don't want anything to do with him the rest of the way. So I'm in complete agreement with that.
Well, and that's like you brought up, Eric. You know who didn't believe in this team? The fans. Clearly, nobody wants to go to that stadium. This last week, they even had the top part of the stadium covered in a 27,000-seat stadium. The smallest by a large margin, and they couldn't even fill the top part of that stadium, and that's what's insane to me. Which, mentioning that, they may be forced to go back to San Diego, but we can get to that later.
But well, it makes a lot of sense for them to – you were talking about getting rid of Rivers. If they were to trade him and bottom out this year, the top two quarterback prospects are L.A. kids, Darnold and Rosen. And, I mean, I know there's questions about them, but at least that's somebody you could draft and kind of pitch as like a hometown kid or something. So I would keep my eye on that. I mean, I still think that they have the talent that they could get to like 8-8 just by almost by accident, but they could also get to like 3-13 pretty quick.
Well, absolutely. They've lost three games by three or less points.
John, I do want to do something because I think this would be a fun exercise. I kind of meant trading Philip Rivers as a joke, but let's say they ever did trade Philip Rivers. Where would Philip Rivers be traded to? I'll start with you, John.
I could see one of the possibilities being the Jaguars because they don't have a franchise quarterback and Rivers hasn't looked bad this year. That would be probably one of the top ones. Maybe the Jets, but I don't feel like they would be a top team that would want to trade for him just for the simple fact that they don't have a team that's ready to win.
A team that should offer.
Off the top of my head would be Jacksonville and maybe Arizona.
I would say a team that should trade for him if he was ever on the block, which I don't think he will be ever, would be the Tennessee Titans. I mean, you need somebody. If you're going to save your season and Marcus Mariota is somehow injured or whatever the deal may be, you need somebody to save your season, and I think Philip Rivers could.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville makes a lot of sense. You know, you could have pitched Miami before the Cutler thing. I thought it would be funny if they traded him back to New York because that's Eli Manning and that original trade. So for that to kind of blow up back in his face, I don't think that'll happen, but I thought that'd be pretty ironic.
I could actually see both of those things happening because I think that at this point in a market like New York, Giants fans are done with Eli. I think they're seeing what I've been preaching since the beginning of the offseason, which is he's the worst quarterback in football. And I doubt it'd happen, but that'd be a nice place for Philip Rivers to land because I feel like he and Odell Beckham Jr. could win that team maybe enough games offensively to sneak into the playoffs, maybe not this year, but next year. That's beside the point. The other thing that you said was interesting wasn't so much a location, but the situation you said, and I'd like to bring this up. You said Miami, but not because of the Cutler thing. I think Jay Cutler looks washed up and old and bad at football.
I just meant because they threw $10 million at him, not necessarily because he's worth keeping around.
Right.
$10 million in the NFL scheme of things is not a lot of money. I feel like you could very easily throw two first-round draft picks in there and Miami would become because honestly, look at the roster. They're one franchise quarterback away. Even when they have Ryan Tannehill, I'm not a huge Ryan Tannehill fan. If Philip Rivers was on that team, they could challenge for the Super Bowl. That's what I'd say.
They need a better defense there still. They've got a decently solid defense, but it's not enough that's going to carry you.
No, I would agree. There's no way.
I feel like the Philip Rivers in Miami could be kind of Peyton Manning Denver scenario, where you're starting to find the pieces and you have a solid roster, but you add a potentially all-time quarterback to your team, and then you build the defense over 2 years, and then you see if you can win a Super Bowl or two. I feel like that wouldn't be too crazy.
I think the thing is, and I'm guilty of this too, and I mean, we've been stuck on Rivers probably longer than we wanted to be here, but there's a tendency to put him in that group. I mean, obviously not of all time with Peyton Manning, but he is kind of talked up as an elite quarterback, and it'll be interesting to kind of get some perspective on his career when he's done, because like the postseason success and things like that just aren't there. But he continually gets credit, and people write it off as bad coaching or bad supporting cast, but there might just be something missing there.
I feel like it's the latter. But moving on, those were some bold trade predictions. We're going to move on and just go around. Well, maybe once, maybe twice. Who knows? We'll see how much time it takes. But this was kind of inspired by the fact that look at the LA Rams and what they're doing. I'm not going to say I saw the Rams coming. I said that I was excited to see what Sean McVay could do with Jared Goff, but I don't think anyone wasn't. No one saw the Rams coming. No one saw the Bills coming. No one saw the Jets, by the way, and they were a team as a whole. The NFL was wrong on. They're not a playoff team, but they're a team that's going to beat middling to bad teams. I could see them going like 5 to 7 wins. Is that crazy? Yes or no?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, they still get to play the Bills. They still play the Dolphins. 5 wins would be the ceiling, but I had them going 0-16 this year, so who knows with that team, honestly.
I'm thinking 4 wins.
I could see 6-7. I think I'll go with 6, but it wouldn't shock me if they went 7-9 and did the most Jets things possible and put themselves out of the running for a top-tier quarterback in the draft. But just out of that, let's just go around, and I'll start with you, Josh, our honored guest. One bold prediction for the next 4 games. What are we going to be talking about that's really shocking at the end of week 8?
Well, we're going to do the next 4 games. I'll say the Giants are 0-8. I'm going to say they don't get a win. And maybe that's not shocking at this point since, I mean, they are 0-4. So I guess it can only get better in theory. But I'm going to say that they lose this winless showdown with the Chargers. And I think, you know, we talked about the Chargers not having much of a home field advantage. So I think playing in New York may actually help L.A., and I'm going to say that they beat the Giants. And then after that, the Giants go to Denver and then host Seattle and the Los Angeles Rams. So I'm going to say that they don't get a win in any of those and maybe finally get one against the 49ers in the 9th game that they play. But, yeah, I'm going to say the Giants are 0-8.
Yeah, I would say that is shocking. I think they'll win at least – I don't expect them to win a lot and suddenly become a different team, but I'd be shocked if they went 0-8. What about you, John?
I'd agree. It's really hard for any team to go 0-8, but the way this Giants team has played, it's bold and I could see it. I could also see them winning one against the Chargers and throwing that all against it just because these are two bad luck teams right now that just cannot find a way to win. I mean, the Giants have played close in a lot of these games, and it's hard to, like I said, hard to see a team going 0-8 because at some point you've got to fight and make that one win happen, but that's a very brutal schedule coming up with the Chargers, Broncos, Seahawks, and Rams.
Yeah, going for bold.
For me, the biggest one that I think I could see the Lions going 4-0 over these next weeks. They have the Panthers, the Saints, the Steelers, and the Packers. They actually get the Steelers at home, which is an advantage to them because we have all seen how the Steelers play on the road. They usually can't get it going. They played terrible against Chicago in week 3, and the Lions' defense is for real. And I honestly think the Lions can beat the Packers in week 8 to take a 7-1 record going into week 9.
I think for me, my bold prediction would be on that first team they play. I think we're going to be talking about Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers offense as back in form. We're going to be talking about them once again as one of the best offenses in the NFL. I get that it was New England that Cam Newton sliced and diced, but for a guy who a week beforehand looked like his arm was totally done and the shoulder was not back to normal after a week of rest, I get that the Patriots don't have a great defense, but it's still something to go, and that I give Deshaun Watson credit for that too. It takes a lot to go into Foxborough and win. Like, Deshaun Watson came close, but he didn't, and they still had a bad defense. But that's beside the point. I really think that the Panthers, we're going to be talking about them at week 8 as the leaders in that division and as one of the best offenses in the NFL.
Wow.
All right. For me, I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills. I think the Buffalo Bills over the next 4 weeks, after they played the Jets, we're going to be talking about them being 7-1. They don't really play anybody. This would be shocking. I don't know if it's so shocking now, but if you said this before the season, you would have said, no, this isn't going to happen. But you play the Bengals. We know who the Bengals are. I think the Buffalo Bills defense will shut them down. I really do. And then the Buccaneers, that's a toss up. I could see the Bucs winning, but I'm just gonna pick the Bills right now, and because I'm making the bold prediction. The Raiders without Derek Carr, they're done. Just get them out of here. And then the Jets, I don't even need to talk about them. I could easily see them at 7-1 after 4 weeks.
Everyone was pretty quiet on my Panthers prediction. Just to give you, I heard Chris kind of go like, "Oh, I don't think that's," or maybe Josh going like, "Oh, I don't think that's gonna happen."
Yeah, I said, "Wow, I'm not seeing that one."
I'm not saying that they're gonna be undefeated. I'm saying they have the Lions, the Eagles, and the Bears within the next 4 weeks, up to week 9, which is where we're talking about now. I think they'll lose in Detroit, but I think they can beat the Eagles at home, and I think they can beat the Bears on the road. And I think both of those defenses are good enough that if Cam Newton has good games, we're going to be looking at the Panthers in a totally different way. I would not be shocked if they were at that point 5-2. Why wouldn't they be that? Like, well, what's holding them back?
For me, I want to see the Lions game, because for me, what's holding them back is the fact that I think the first 3 weeks are more indicative of their offense than the week against the Patriots. But if they look like that again or something close to it against the Lions, then I'll believe. I mean, at the beginning of the season before, like when I was looking at over-unders, I thought this Eagles Thursday night game was a big one in kind of determining whether or not they made the playoffs, maybe making the difference between 8-8 and 9-7, 10-6. So I still kind of agree with that. But, I mean, I would believe 0-3 in those next three before I'd believe 3-0. I think going to Chicago is an underrated game. The Eagles have looked good. The Lions have looked good. I think they'll probably end up going 2-1, 1-2. I think it's bold to say that they'll go 3-0, because I would for sure be shocked.
Yeah, I just haven't seen the consistency in Cam Newton, and I know the Patriots defense is dead last in defense. They're just dead last defensively. I can't buy into that right now, because we saw what they did against the Saints. We saw Cam Newton. He still looked, I don't know if he shook up against a defense that's probably next to the Patriots and being worse than NFL.
You're underrating. If you still believe in the Dolphins' offense, then you're underrating the Saints.
I didn't say I'm not believing in the Dolphins' offense.
Either way, I gotta object with you there. The Saints are not a bottom two defense. They are not a top 10 defense, but they are in the middle of the pack, closer to 20.
They will be.
20 to 15. No. They gave no, up.
They're almost at last.
they pulled an NFL shutout. Like, I don't care who you're playing. Even the Jets, when they've come close to being shut out this year, or some of the worst teams in NFL history, get a field goal. They shut out a team. Like, that's very impressive. You have to give that defense respect. They've been torn apart by the Patriots offense, and that's it. And any defense would get torn apart by the Patriots offense.
If we're talking about points, they only score 6 against the Jets. They might not be dead last right now, but they will be.
They're 20th. I think they'll end up about there, like 20th.
Right. That sounds about right. For me, the biggest thing, if you go back to that Saints and Panthers game, is the highest receiver on that team, Christian McCaffrey, with 9 receptions for 101 yards. Next was Funchess with 58, and the next highest was 8, and that was one catch by Ed Dixon. Your biggest guy, Kelvin Benjamin, had 2 for 8, and Curtis Samuel had 2 for 5. It's when your biggest receiver is a running back, it's going to lead to problems because teams are going to be able to scheme against that. And McCaffrey has been great, but you can't rely on him to be your main pass offense or your offensive target for passing. You cannot rely on him to be able to take everything. And yes, they beat up on the Panthers a little bit this week in the passing game with Funchess and Benjamin, but I feel like part of that was broken tackles that should have been made. And that's where I really believe that you especially called them a top of the NFL offense, and I just don't see it at all. They don't have the receivers to do it.
I think Cam Newton's that good. That's the bottom line. Like, he had a bad injury-prone season, and he always has great bounce-back seasons. Moving on, though, we are going to quickly delve into the power rankings of the NFL. And our good friend Josh Delaney is back with us now. Stepped away for a moment. But we're going to jump in, and we will go over the top 15, our top 15 power rankings. I'll put the link in the description of this episode, but I wrote the official PSF power rankings this week, our quarter mark power rankings. We're going to go off those. I'll read out the groups of 5, then we can kind of discuss disagreements with where I have teams. I'd love to go the whole thing, but we don't quite have enough time. We may look at some of the bottom teams in the league later on this week. But let's start with 15. 15 to 11. 15, I have Tennessee. 14, I have Tampa Bay. 13, Minnesota. 12, Seattle. And 11, Philadelphia. Josh, you're our guest. We'll start with you. Thoughts on that?
It's kind of hard to, I guess, get into it without diving back below. I can't see having Tennessee above Pittsburgh and probably Carolina too. So that one stands out to me. I like Tampa Bay. Minnesota, I think, will fade now, but I'm fine with them there for now. I'm pretty much good with the rest of those, even looking at who we're going to get to later. Tennessee is the only one that seems too high to me.
To defend Tennessee, that's over the first 4 weeks. These power rankings aren't projecting into the future. If I was, I would have put him lower. But I think through the first 4 weeks, they're definitely.
I got you. For me, though, over the first 4 weeks, I like Pittsburgh and Carolina better. And I could make a case for Dallas. But I was low on Tennessee coming in, so they kind of had to work their way up. But, yeah, I mean, even over the first 4 weeks, I would still like certainly Pittsburgh, I think. I mean, Pittsburgh to me would be closer to the top 10. But that's the only big one that jumps out to me.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Tennessee took a big hit after that blowout for me. It's bigger than probably anybody else's, but I had them out of the top 15 for sure. I do agree the Steelers are better. I have them at 12. Besides that, I really don't. I don't disagree with that. I think Philadelphia is ranked a little low. I would have them in my top 10. But besides that, we have. Don't have many disagreements.
For me, I've actually got the Seahawks 15, Saints 14, Texans, Patriots, and Panthers. I've got Philly much higher than a. I think they've been very strong this year. And Minnesota and Tennessee, I've actually got outside of the top 15 because with Minnesota losing Dalvin Cook for the year, that's a big hit to their run game. Latavius Murray wasn't able to run behind a great Oakland offensive line last year, and I don't expect him to be much better this year. And Tennessee just hasn't shown a lot. They've been very inconsistent this year, especially on the defensive side. They've been great some weeks. They've been mediocre. They've been bad. And that the biggest strength of what their team was supposed to be was the offensive line in the run game, and they haven't been very consistent with that. So I've got them outside the top 15 for that reason.
So just to defend my Minnesota pick, again, these are within the first 4 weeks.
No, I'm know, not, and that's but that's one of the reasons I've got them down.
Really? Because I think without Sam Bradford, who looked, frankly, amazing in week one, I think that Dalvin Cook made them a top 15 team within the last 4 weeks. Now, do I think they'll be a top 15 team in the next 4 weeks? Certainly not, but right now I think it's completely justified for where they are.
I like them. I'm fine with Minnesota top 15 based on the 4 weeks. If you're using the 4 week logic, I'm fine with Minnesota. Again, I just the Tennessee one jumps out to me.
Moving on to the next group of five, 10 Houston, 8-9 Washington, 8 New England, 7 Denver, and 6 Detroit. Thoughts there?
I feel like Detroit's way too low for the fact that they could have been 4-0 at this point if not for a what I find to be a very dumb and very weird rule of the 10-second runoff because the ruling on the field was overturned. They could have easily been 4-0. I feel like they've got to be higher than that.
For me, Matthew Stafford kind of fell off a cliff after week two, and when they started, and that's a concern for me, and that's why they are where they are. I would have probably put them at 5, where, spoiler, I have Atlanta, but just because I won that game and frankly outplayed the offense, the Detroit offense and their defense, I can't put them in the top 5 quite yet. That's why they're just outside. If they continue to be as good as they are by the week 8 mark, they will definitely be a top 5 team.
Eric,
yes,
Eric,
but they should have won the game.
Go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say they should have won that football game. Ooh. You can I did not discredit that win for. I did discredit the loss for Detroit because there's no way that the Detroit Lions should have lost that game. We should be talking about them 4-0 and 9-0 and 4-0 because I don't agree with the rule and I think we'll come.
Eric, what's the deal with Pittsburgh at 17 for you? I mean, I know I brought that up talking about Tennessee. But to me, Pittsburgh's a top 10 team for sure. I mean, I have them borderline top 5. I think some of it's like expectations. They haven't looked as dominant as maybe we wanted them to. But I mean, they won some games. I know they lost at Chicago, but they always struggle on the road. Just beat a division rival in the Ravens. What do you not like about them?
One, I didn't like week one, the Browns, a team that has now been found out as a defective defense. Le'Veon Bell, and I get that he missed most of training camp in the preseason, but Greg should be able to demolish his thrown into game time scenarios. It would not shock me at all if they're a top 10 team by the next time I do these, but through the first 4 weeks, their offense just hasn't been good enough, in my opinion. For the amount of weapons they have and the fact that they're finally all together, they have been extremely disappointing. And the Chicago loss is a big reason why they're down. They're a lock to lose to one of the worst teams in the league on the road every year. And top 10 teams aren't locks to lose on the road against a bad team. That's just not what top 10 teams do. It wouldn't shock me if they're here when I put out the next power rankings, but for right now, I think they're perfectly justified being at 17.
Right. For me, I saw you had the Patriots ranked at 8. I think that's a little high. I think Houston's better than New England Patriots. It's better than New England Patriots right now. Like I said, we're talking about 3 or 4 weeks, so I kind of have to. That kind of makes it odd. So,
Okay, here's my argument for New England, and it's ironic because our good friend Ian Kuzik just joined, just got online on this. But the reason for me that is still a top 10 team. Pretty simple, two words: Tom Brady. Tom will ignore the fact because they've lost that back-to-back-to-back. He's had three of the best games of his career, has yet to throw in interceptions. I get that they've lost two games, and the defense is losing them games for the first time really in the Brady-Belichick era. But until Tom Brady doesn't look like Tom Brady, then they're not going to be an outside of top 10 team for me. I could see putting them lower in the top 10, but I certainly would not remove them from the top 10.
I'm fine with New England in the top 10. The team I would jump up, I'd even leave Washington, Houston behind them maybe. But I would jump, John was talking about Philadelphia, I would jump the Eagles up ahead of them because – I mean, Kansas City went into Foxborough and, you know, pretty much embarrassed the Patriots. And Philadelphia lost to Kansas City, but it was only by 7 on the road. So I would jump the Eagles up above the Pats if it were me.
Right.
Absolutely. I'm high on the Eagles. They've actually been doing really well with the game. Like, Garrett Blunt just had 136 rushing yards this last week. Zach Ertz has been a dominating force for them again when he's been healthy. And I feel like the Eagles are very underrated by you right now, and that defensive front has been amazing, especially with Ronald Darby out. They've been actually a very strong defense still.
Well, for me, another thing that's interesting is where you have the Packers at, because I have them at number 6.
Hold on. Spoiler. We haven't gotten there yet. I'd like to take a second and reply to the Philly thing. For me, the reason Houston is 10 and Philly is 11 is that Houston, with a rookie quarterback, almost went into New England and upset the Patriots. People aren't highlighting that enough because that week was the week we had the protest issues. So I think that Deshaun Watson is getting underrated. And though I love Carson Wentz and what I saw from him the first two games, he still makes some head-scratching mistakes. And they are just – and they're a field goal away also from losing to the New York Giants. So I'm not quite all in on the Philadelphia Eagles yet. Yes, I respect them. That's why they're at 11. I don't think they're quite top 10 talent yet, and that's why. Moving on to our top 5, and of course – as we mentioned, Green Bay. At 5, I have Atlanta. At four, this is the one that I thought would get a lot of blowback from people, but I haven't heard a whole lot on the Twitter sphere and Facebook sphere. I have the Bills at four, the Rams at three, the Packers at two, and the Chiefs at one. Thoughts?
For me, the Packers can't be that high. It's, yes, they just won 35-14, but it was over a terrible Bears offense where the ball was given to them twice, basically for free, and they still only put up 35 points against a bad, terrible, ugly Chicago team that night on a Thursday night. A lot of it was based on injury, but Green Bay just still has a lot of issues on defense, as we've seen. They barely escaped the Bengals, who are currently 1-3, I believe. But I could see why you'd expect a lot of blowback on the Bills. I've got them at 7, so it's not far off, but they've looked very good, and it's hard to knock them out of the top 10 just because they've been able to do what they've done.
Right. Well, let me first off to say, we all agree the Chiefs are the number one. I think that's quite obvious. At two, I think, like I said earlier, you have the Lions a little underrated. I think they should be 4-0. I don't need to talk about that. And the Packers, after that loss in Atlanta, their defense did not show up for the game. And it looked like it did last week, to be honest. Even though I do think we saw a little of the Steve Sarkisian and Atlanta's offense not being on the same page, because I think Atlanta could have put up 40 or 50 points. So I don't see how you could have put the Packers at 12.
Let me start out with the Packers. The Packers, for me, are the number two team in the league because of this. Their defense, whereas we expected them to be terrible, you can say whatever, but on film and just the eye test and the intangibles, they look very, very good on defense, where they weren't good last year. And they've shut down some of the top offenses in the league. I get that the Bengals game, they were down 21-3 at half, but I think that was a fluke. And I think that Aaron Rodgers is done. Like, I would have the Packers lower if Aaron Rodgers was being normal September Aaron Rodgers. To me, Aaron Rodgers looks like the best quarterback in football right now, right under Tom Brady. And it's very, very close. I could make an argument for either. But I just can't see myself putting them lower than 5. And I think that they are the best team right now besides the Rams in the NFC. And I even though I love Matthew Stafford, I'm still taking the Packers over the Lions every day. That's why, for me, they're at 2.
For me, I mean, I kind of profess being a little bit of a Green Bay fan at the beginning, but I struggle to put them at 2. Kind of mostly, it gets a little jumbled after Kansas City, because I'm not sold on the Falcons, but they did beat the Lions and the Packers, even if the Lions game had some questions. So I end up putting the Falcons at 2, and a lot of that's just because I think you can make a case for the Rams and Buffalo at 2 and 3 just based on 4 weeks, but I just have a hard time putting them there. Just, you know, that's probably my bias showing up. But I like the Falcons probably at 2. Green Bay, really, I mean, they beat a Seahawks team that doesn't have a great offense, and then almost lost Cincinnati. Basically only looked really good against the Bears, which doesn't mean a lot. So for me, I would have the Falcons, and then I would have the Packers and the Lions at 3 and 4, kind of for the same reason you said. I just can't see myself putting the Lions over the Packers in any situation. And then I kind of like the Rams and Buffalo in that next spot, if not Pittsburgh, who I mentioned I kind of like as a top 5 team. So that's where I'm at.
Well, I wish we could have gotten to the whole power rankings. I wish we could have gotten to the bottom, because I think there's a lot of interesting debate to have down there too. But we're not going to quite get there tonight. Josh, thanks again for joining us tonight. It's been a great time. Why don't you once again just give everyone your Twitter?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Twitter is at scoringplays, and the blog is scoringplays.blog, and really appreciate it, and thanks so much.
Yeah, awesome. And, of course, you can follow us on the interwebs at EndZonePod on Twitter. You can follow John at JButlerPSF, Chris at PSF, Chris at ChrisPSF, and me at Eric18Utah. That'll be it. We'll see you later this week with our Pick'em show. Go ahead and check out the power rankings to check out the bottom. And maybe start sending us some questions. I kind of want to do a mailbag show at some point. Yeah. So go ahead, send us your questions to any of our Twitter handles. And we'll see you next week. Not next week. The end of this week. Peace out.
Friday.